worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Luke 10, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Verses 25 to 37, Luke chapter 10. Then looking briefly in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Again, 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 16. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Verses 16 through 18, 1 John chapter 3. Father, we thank you, Lord, for how that you guide us and direct us by your word. You teach and train us to be believers that listen to your word and obey and follow your word each and every day. Father, teach us and empower us to walk in your spirit of love, your spirit of compassion and grace. Help us to know, Lord, that you've called every believer in the truest sense of the word, into full-time ministry. And we're called to live a life of love and compassion every day, wherever we go. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit would teach us to see and hear as we go. And help us to be yielded vessels through which you can accomplish your will in a world where so many people have been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Thank you for the chance to be a part of your work and will in the world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time as well.
Father, we thank you for our listening family. We pray your blessings on them. So many people hurting these days. So many people have lost loved ones, people with relationship problems, struggling with addictions. Father, we pray that you would do a mighty work, that they would cling to you, that they would dig deep into your word, that they would respond to your word in the way that pleases you. But Father, please send people alongside them and your Holy Spirit to work in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are blessed today to have with us once again, it's been a little bit, but grateful to have Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. Pastor Ball, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and it's just a privilege to be here with you and Rick and having this time together and searching the Word and praying and crying out to our Lord and our Savior.
Amen. Amen. And again, always a privilege to have you. And I want to say, Pastor Ball, you and your church family have been an inspiration to me for a long time in that by the grace of God, I think your church is a role model church for the body of Christ, about a church that's really living out the wisdom behind the parable of the Good Samaritan, living out the heart of Jesus, reaching out to people that are hurting. And so I'm going to ask if you'll further introduce yourself, and then I want to get right into you sharing about how God led you to the carry out the vision of Anchor Church today.
Oh, absolutely. And really, that's probably a theme, the heart of this Good Samaritan in the scriptures and the teachings that God was giving us in that moment and in that passage, which is, you know, there's so many of us that are passing by hurting people. Mm-hmm. The model at the Anchor Church is it's not just a cliche, but it's a way of existence to provide help, hope, and healing to the hurting. Our purpose is to seek out the hurting. Our church has been built around the hurting. Matter of fact, our church didn't plant the Anchor Church to grow a congregation. The last thing Tupelo, Mississippi needed was another church. You can't throw a rock in any direction without breaking a stained glass window. So when we planted the church over 10 years ago, our purpose wasn't to grow a congregation. It was just a group of us that started being the hands and feet of Jesus. We just started ministering together. And as we started ministering together, as we started obeying God when he brought us to a hurting person, instead of just saying a prayer and keep moving, he taught us to kneel beside him and mm-hmm. to minister to him. Mm-hmm. And so that's where ministry began for us. And as ministry began, a congregation grew up around ministry.
So your goal was not originally to start a new congregation.
No, not at all.
But to begin to reach out in need to the community.
Absolutely. We were just looking at the needs in our community here in Tupelo and trying to meet them. And it was just a small group of individuals that took our resources and just began to minister to people. And what God told us is not many people were attending our church. So we were ministering to people that were attending other churches. Mm-hmm. And we just began to minister to people and more and more people come alongside. And from that, we began to notice God began to highlight. That's the thing that I want people to really understand is that, you know, God didn't call us to share the gospel with every single person on the planet. And you know, as we live, we come in contact with, you know, a couple hundred people a day if we get out in the public on a daily basis. And even if we go to Walmart, that number's going to go up, especially during Christmas. That number's going to go up. But God didn't call us to stop every person we see and share the gospel, but he's called us to love. Mm-hmm. Every person we come in contact with. Now, how we display that love will be different from person to person and moment to moment as the Holy Spirit gives discernment to believers how to love people and to express that love to people. Mm-hmm. So what we begin to notice is hurting people. God taught me this in Walmart. As a young pastor, I'd coached for 20 years and became a pastor, and I was in Walmart. And I passed this lady in Walmart. I mean, I was fresh in ministry, fresh in full-time call. I mean, I coached for 20 years. I preached the gospel for a while, but that was that moment. Mm-hmm. And so God began to just really speak to my heart in that moment. And I passed this lady, and God said, pray for her. And it wasn't an audible voice, you know, Pastor Joseph. It was, but it might as well have been because it was real. I walked down the aisle, turned around, started coming back. There she was, coming down the exact next aisle. We were going the same direction. Mm-hmm. And I passed her the second time, and the Lord said, pray for her. Mm-hmm. And so now at this point, I'm making excuses, right? You know, I'm going to freak this woman out, you know, a strange man coming up to her in Walmart. God, she's going to think I'm hitting on her or something. I mean, God, I mean, I'm making all the excuses in the world that I could come up with. You know, one of our church members is going to see pastor talking to a strange woman in Walmart, and rumors are going to get started. You know, all the excuses that we could think of, I was throwing them out. Mm-hmm. And the third time I walked, I mean, the third aisle I walked down, and it was her. And it was like the Lord, with almost a disgusting tone in his voice, said, pray for her. Mm-hmm. And I sensed the urgency in my spirit. And God was teaching me, never pass by a hurting person again, son. Mm-hmm. And I just, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but I really feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. My name's David. I'm a pastor here. But I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything going on in your life that I can pray for you about? Mm-hmm. She started crying. And she said, Joseph, or you know, David, I'm telling you, Joseph, but she said to me, that I just received word from the doctor that I have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I'm fixing my husband's favorite meal and going home to prepare it for him and share with him that I'm dying. And I grabbed her and hugged her and I prayed for her, and it was one of the sweetest, most intimate moments. And I ended my prayer time with her and that moment by just saying, you know, God loves you so much, he sent me to tell you that he loves you. And Joseph, it was that moment that God said, we can't keep passing by people that are hurting. And from that, our ministries, the Transformation Ranch, the Transformation Home, now the Transformation Garden, Servant's Heart Feeding Program, the Diaper Depot, all of these ministries to hurting people, different specific needs that different people in our church said, I want to minister in this capacity to these people. And our church came alongside of these people to begin to start these ministries and begin to minister to them. The oldest, of course, is the Transformation Ranch. We've been right at 9 years and ministering to those men that are in chemical and addiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the past 2 years during COVID, this epidemic of addiction has been rampant. We've buried 37 that have committed suicide or overdose during, you know, the COVID and the isolate. The last thing you do to an addict is isolate them and give them money. Mm-hmm. So they'd get these stimulus checks and they were isolated, not working, not having a life, and it was deadly for them. And we've had 37 funerals as a result of that. And so because of these ministries, they're dirty, they're hurting, it's difficult. A lot of them go back into addiction after spending time with us and experiencing, tasting, and seeing that the Lord is good. And it's hard. And I know there's a lot of people under sound of our voices right now that have had family members that have been touched by this specific pain. And we don't know what to do, and the churches don't know what to do.
Would you take a moment to tell our listeners, if someone wants to get in touch with you to learn more about the ministry, the ministries of Anchor Church, or just to be in touch with you, how can they do that?
The Anchor Church phone number is area code 662-260-5159. We have a secretary that's there from 9 to 1 every day, and she returns phone calls and answers phone calls. If
Central.
It's central, central time. And so that's a good time. But we always, in the morning when the secretaries get there, that's the first thing to do is listen to messages and respond to phone calls. So you can leave a message at any time. Also, Facebook pages are real good ways to communicate us and get us real quick. You can get a Facebook message. And that's at also our webpage is the Anchor. It's anchor-church.net. And so both of those have all of our ministries that are listed there and Facebook page for the Transformation Ranch, the Transformation Home, and the Transformation Garden are very active and monitored daily. We get notices on those. And so that's probably some ways that you can kind of get in touch with us, but you can get in touch with me there at the church number. Okay. I'd love to talk to anybody about these ministries and ways that these ministries can be started in other communities as well, in other churches as well.
Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the ministry and ministries of the Anchor Church. And thank you, Lord, for every believer that's listening right now. Father, we ask that you'd speak to every listener according to your perfect will. Lord, help listeners to have the ears to hear what you'd have them to say. Lord, there are those out there that are to begin outreaches in their own communities, people who've been called to some area of ministry or ministries in their community. Help them to grow in their understanding of how to hear you clearly and to carry out what you're calling them to do. And then, Lord, for those persons that are part of church fellowships that want to do more, help them to know exactly how you'd have them to go forward to help approach their church about beginning outreaches that touch people and become vessels of healing to people in their lives where they're hurting, bleeding, where in many cases dying literally in some form or another. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, also there are those persons out there that are supposed to become prayer warriors, that to come alongside the Anchor Church or churches like this church, or that are to become financial supporters. Lord, help us all to just know what you would have us to do and to do it, to be vessels of mercy and compassion in a world full of hurting people. We thank and praise you for the privilege of doing just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
Find a way out, yeah. Play into my weakness. Can I be
Toby Mac with the song, It's You, a reminder that Jesus really is the answer to everything. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. And Pastor David, before we move forward, I'm going to ask, would you pray also for listeners to really have ears to hear any and everything God wants to say to them today?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now as we sit at your feet, and God, as you speak to us and speak through us, there's going to be listeners that hear, God, that you've got a call on their life. And maybe it's just like me in a Walmart where we're trying to ignore it and we're trying to move past it and we're too busy and all the different reasons and excuses that we use. And God, right now I ask you to allow ears to be open to hear, but not just be a hearer of your word and a hearer of your words as you speak to us, but God, be doers as well, move into action and be the hands and feet that you've called us to be in a lost and dying world full of hurting people. So God, minister to us and through us now that we might boldly obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, again, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to share with the believers truths and insights that will encourage them to draw closer to you and to listen to you and follow you more faithfully. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would encourage us to be believers who are quick to believe, believers who are quick to have a yes, Lord, attitude, whatever that might be, to just live with the perspective that, Lord, yes, whatever it is you're asking and calling us to do, to say yes as a lifestyle. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Pastor Ball, would you share with our listeners once again how, if they want to get in touch with you or learn more about the ministry of Anchor Church, how they can do that?
The phone number at the Anchor Church is 662-260-5159, and you can leave a message and we will get back with you. But if you call in the central time zone from 9 to 1, we have a secretary that's there that will answer, and it's a quick way to get in touch with us and find all of our facilities and ministries that God's called us to and has us working in.
Okay. And so now you've mentioned three different houses, basically ministry houses, facilities that you all have. And I believe you said the first one was the Restoration Ranch, is that right?
The Transformation Ranch.
Transformation Ranch, I'm
from
sorry.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay. You know, that God taught us that in ministering to people, you know, that he says, I beseech you, just a fancy word for I beg you, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And then verse 2 tells us exactly how to do that. We can't be conformed to this world. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so what we've learned is a lot of people have a way of thinking and a worldview that's just got them so messed up and tied up in bondage. And so because of that, we want to prove that which is good and acceptable will of our Lord. And, you know, that's the end of that verse. And the way we do that is being transformed and having our mind renewed. Our thoughts are so important. In this world and culture that we live in, what we begin to find is a lot of people are given this excuse to be a victim. This victim mentality is rampant in our world and in our nation today, mm-hmm. and is giving people an excuse to be the way they are. You're just a victim. And I don't find that in Scripture. Matter of fact, Romans 8 teaches us that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I believe it's verse 37, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, if we're more than conquerors, that means we're overcomers. That means we're overcomers of addiction. We're overcomers of a lot of bondage, whether it's pornography or other things that people are struggling with. Our God gives us the strength and the courage and the ability through His power to overcome, to not be a victim, to not be a victim of our circumstances, but to be a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's my prayer. It has been my prayer. And so because of that, we came across a lot of people that were struggling in addiction. They came into our church. We began to minister to them. A lot of churches have Celebrate Recovery in different groups. If a person's on drug court, and that's a huge thing in our country, instead of sending people to prison that are struggling with addiction, we've invented, and I think a very good tool, a drug court, which holds people accountable. They can be tested at any moment. They can be called and forced to take a drug test. If they fail that drug test, then incarceration follows. But they give them a chance to overcome this outside. They require them to go to so many meetings a week. And so a lot of churches have seized this opportunity to minister to these individuals by starting Celebrate Recovery and other groups that are really good. Ours is called Elevation Recovery. We do it every Wednesday night from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. They start fellowshipping about 5:30. It's an incredible segue. But some people need addiction and struggling with addiction. They need to be set apart. They need a safe place for them to heal. If you're in a drug house where drugs are all around you and you're trying to get free from drugs, that's not a good situation. Right. And so our Transformation Ranch was started. It's a work facility, so we do not accept money from parents and from insurance companies and things like that. These guys come in, we get them a job, they go to work, they live together at the ranch, and they every night they deal with the issues, what we call triggers, for the reasons why they begin to use. It's been about 9.5, 10 years ago that we started this ministry to people in drug addiction, the Transformation Ranch. It's been so successful because it's a work program. They're around the triggers all day, every day, but they're being empowered by the grace of God to say no. When we resist the devil, he flees. So we got to teach people the power to resist the devil that comes through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We stumble, we get up, and we keep moving. And so that was started. We recognized we needed something for women, the Transformation Home.
So Transformation Ranch is for men.
Right. And then the Transformation Home, we realized we needed a facility for women.
And does basically the same thing for women.
Same principles. It's a work program. A lot of times in-house programs work, but sometimes teaching people to live in this world helps them prepare them when they get out of the ranch and they go on their own. And so that's why it's a work program, and it's been very, very successful. We're seeing, of course, it's a dirty ministry. So, I tell people all the time, Steve Gaines at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, he said this to me. He said, God's called us to be, fishers of men, but we become keepers of aquariums. We like our aquariums nice and neat and the fish nice and clean. And so sometimes we don't want to fish and be evangelical, and I call it spiritual grandparents. We're spiritual grandparents. We don't want the dirty job of changing diapers. We want the grandparents' job of just loving on grandbabies and sending them home to be raised. Well, God calls us to be fishers of men, and sometimes that job is a dirty job, and it's difficult, and it's a lot of dirty diapers with baby Christians. And so there's a lot of, when you're purposely evangelical for people that are struggling, then there's going to be a lot of dirty diapers when they learn to walk out their faith. And what we found from our girls at the Transformation Home is that a lot of these girls are coming out of a background. What we started finding that they've been trafficked, that they had been sexually abused as children, and molested and raped. And a lot of their stories of why, when you get to the root of why are they abusing drugs, there's three reasons why people use drugs. You got the party scene, that they just begin to party, and it grows into an addiction. You've got the pain side of things, where pain management, where somebody has a horrific accident and they've got to manage the pain that comes from the accident, and that grows into a chemical addiction. But the most common reason is that there's pain that people can't cope and deal with in life, and they numb themselves. Mm-hmm. And this numbing effect, you got to get to the root of why somebody is numbing. It's something they've never dealt with, usually in their past. Mm-hmm. And so you have to work on that. And what we began to find when we dug into these young ladies' lives that a lot of them were numbing is their sexual abuse, and mm-hmm. a lot of them had been trafficked. And I heard these stories, and it broke my heart. And that led us to the next facility, which is the Transformation Garden. And the Transformation Garden is for girls that have been trafficked. We needed something specifically mm-hmm. For girls that are coming out of a background of being sexually trafficked. And so this has just been recently opened. We built a new facility. Cost the church about $300,000 to build a, you know, close to $1 million facility that's mm-hmm. absolutely beautiful. 8 days of Hope. And Steve Tiber, which is with AFR and AFA partners here, and they worked together. And they came in and helped us do a lot of the mm-hmm. the construction work on our facility. And mm-hmm. so there's been a partnership, and it's not an anchor church ministry. It's a kingdom work of God. Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. takes the churches coming together to do these ministries. We're never going to eliminate sin until that sky splits open, right? And that mm-hmm. trumpet sounds, and that moment, you know, sin will be removed. But mm-hmm. hold on a second, we got a lot of time between here and now, and mm-hmm. then, and so that's what God's called us to minister to people that are being broken through the sin of individuals. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's not their own sin that's destroying their lives; it's other people's sin that has been perpetrated upon them and mm-hmm. broken them, and they come in with this victim mentality, and we're like, hey, you can overcome this. You can, through the mm-hmm. power of Jesus Christ, you can have life and life more abundant. You don't have to live. Now, look, there's a lot we're going to have to walk through. There's a lot we're going to have to deal through and minister to them in mm-hmm. these moments, but the goal is not to live as a broken vessel, but to be an overcomer through Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. And so the three facilities, against Transformation Ranch, Transformation Home, and then the latest one is?
The Transformation Garden.
Transformation Garden. Okay, right. Then. And the garden one is the newest one, and that one is specifically helping to target and minister to young ladies who've been through the tragedy of sex trafficking.
Absolutely. And you watch these stories as these girls come in, and you watch their head that's hanging low, and they won't make eye contact. And then all of a sudden, man, I get emotional when you see the transformation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in people's lives, mm-hmm. and you see them become overcomers, and you see them begin to experience the life in Christ. It's mm-hmm. just an absolutely beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, so if someone listening is thinking to themselves they want to become a prayer partner to pray maybe specifically for Transformation Ranch or Transformation Home or Transformation Garden or all three, though, again, same way they would just get in touch with you then.
There's also a website for the Transformation Garden, and it is thetransformationgarden.net. Is the website for that specific ministry. Mm-hmm. And there's volunteers. Sign up there if you're local in this area. We desperately need help. We also need financial support for these girls from other churches, and a lot mm-hmm. of other churches have come on board providing volunteers to minister to these girls. The work programs of the ranch and of the home, the girls and the guys go to work every day. Well, at the garden, these girls have to go through a certain level of healing before they're even able to go into the workforce. Mm-hmm. And so they are round-the-clock ministry. Mm-hmm. And so we need a lot of volunteers in that case, in that situation, with a lot of different skill sets and gifts from God to minister and to pour into these girls. So you can go to the Transformation Garden website, and you can sign up as a volunteer. There's background checks that have to be had for these girls' protection there. But you can learn a whole lot more about that ministry on that website as well.
Mm-hmm. Share the website again, please.
It's transformationgarden.net. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible opportunity. I see a lot of people grow in ministry. It's something about kneeling down, like the Good Samaritan when he knelt down mm-hmm. and began to minister to somebody. It's not just a minister that is ministering to a broken person. Mm-hmm. It's that minister that's being ministered to as he ministers. It's like God awakens the church and individuals. I see it happening all the time in our church. Hey, Pastor, I've got this— heart for these people that are going through this. You know, our associate pastor, Bubba Lawler, he has a heart for the homeless. And I said, Bubba, how can we help? And out of that is growing a ministry that he's beginning to, you know, take shape and form, that the Anchor Church is going to come alongside of Bubba and Rocky and their ministry to the homeless people there here and on the streets in Tupelo. A lot of the churches are wanting to get involved. And so that's what happens when God breaks your heart for something specific. And then, you know, the church is supposed to come alongside, equip the saints for ministry in this moment.
And that's right.
That's our prayer for the whole church. Wouldn't it be incredible if every single member of every single church in the United States of America had a ministry that they were ministering? You talk about changing the world. You talk about changing our nation. Every member just heart was broken for something specific and they acted on that broken heart and began to minister through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it goes back to something you've touched on, maybe several times, though, but listening to the Holy Spirit and just being wide open to yield whatever he's calling us to do is so important. And every believer really in the truest sense of the word really is called to full-time ministry, full-time just doing what God has called us to do. And, you know, Pastor Paul, I think of this, that the Holy Spirit's all about ministry. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our job is to listen and do, you know. So, again, our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball, the pastor of Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. We'll be right back. Music from the Walls Group. All praise goes to you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor David Ball. He's the pastor of the Anchor Church in Verona, Mississippi. Pastor Ball, as we begin this last segment, I'm going to ask if you'll take time, if you would pray for a ministry that my wife Birdie and I have had the privilege of helping to spearhead. It's called the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, which you know about. Prayer for this ministry, but also praying for others who may be called to start pregnancy ministries in their communities as well. This, of course, is one of many areas of ministry, but so critical because it's one where when it doesn't happen, many people, some of which are in the church, think it's okay to murder babies. Yeah. Would you pray for this and other ministries
that they need to be? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for... those with a heart for you. And God, I thank you for Joseph and Bertie, God, and their call that you've given on their life to minister to these young babies through the lives of their mothers, and God giving them life. And God, my prayer right now is that you will take this ministry and grow it, God, to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine it to be. And God, I pray for others who right now are recognizing the call and the need for pregnancy ministries, ministering to these ladies, these young girls. God, I pray that you would awaken them to this ministry and give them the courage to do that you've called them to do, to step out by faith, be obedient to your call, and do exactly what you're asking of them to do. And God, I pray for your provision for these ministries and your protection for these ministries, for it's in Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor Paul, in the last portion of the broadcast, I want to ask if you'll speak specifically to pastors and individual believers and disciples in particular. And, you know, I'm of this opinion that it's not that every church in a given community is necessarily the call to do what the anchor church is doing, but I believe that probably in some form or another, God would have every church, if they're not doing some of these outreaches, they should come alongside and help other churches that are doing them. But right. There's no such thing as an idle bench. You know, I've heard the term bench member, whatever that means. You know,
right.
I guess maybe that's supposed to be like a basketball player on the bench who never gets in the game.
Yeah.
No such thing.
None.
We're all called to be disciples. But
absolutely.
Would you speak to pastors about getting involved with the nitty-gritty details of really helping people that have been, beat up and left on the side of the road for dead, as well as individual believers?
Absolutely. And first to my brothers in arms, the pastors, I can attest that one of the reasons why I'm so slow in ministry is my dad, 50 years in ministry, and watching him go through the struggles that pastors go through when they step out to do the will of God. There's opposition to the will of God. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give credit at all to the enemy, but let's just say he's a formidable foe. Mm-hmm. You can look around the world today and you can see the deception that he has formed. But at the same time, believers that step out and obey God will face opposition. Mm-hmm. And as a man of God, when you step out to do the will of God, there will be opposition. And the sad thing about it, most of that opposition the enemy already has inside the walls.
Mm.
You know, the opposition doesn't come from outside the walls. It's already inside the walls.
Mm.
And because of that, God's looking for courageous men and women of God that would step up and be bold. So to be honest, let me just be honest, my first two attempts to get the church outside the walls were met with hostility.
Not just opposition, but hostility.
I was forced out of the first pastoral position that I was in. And then in an attempt to take the church, the anchor church, and to minister, like we said, when we started pulling the guys at the ranch into our church, I would say probably half of the congregation left because they didn't want to be in a church with a bunch of convicts. That was the words to me. I don't want to attend a church with a bunch of convicts. I don't want my kids going to the bathroom and me having to worry about what's going on. And it broke my heart. These were dear friends of mine that planted our church with us. And as they left, it was really hard. I mean, I was brokenhearted. And God, am I doing your will? All the questioning that comes. And a pastor said sometimes, God's getting his army down to Gideon's army.
Gideon's
army. and he's getting it down to the ones that are serious. He's trimming the fat, so to speak. And I had to receive that, and that was such a hard thing to receive. So to my pastors, sometimes addition looks like subtraction at first.
Mm-hmm.
When you
God's
do,
working
yes,
on a SEAL team rather
yes,
than a humongous army.
Yes, not this. He's wanting special tack force, and it's going to take these special tack forces. And so sometimes there's subtraction. So to the men and women of God, expect opposition, even expect hostility at the time when you really begin to step out and do. But be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He will lead, guide, and direct, and He will provide. And so then to the members of the church, I would say, you know, to the men and women of God, be strong and courageous. That's the words, you know, God gave to Joshua when they took possession of the promised land. You know, Moses had to be obedient, but it was Joshua that took possession, and God's word to him was be strong and courageous. You know, rakasakamats, still a war cry in Israel today in Hebrew. And so you got to be strong and courageous, very courageous, of good courage. And so because of that, it's going to take members to come alongside of these brave men and women of God that take the lead as Joshua and step out. But then it's going to take members. There's, you know, there's, this is not done by men and women of God. The Anchor Church is a church, a body of believers that are called of God to minister help, hope, and healing to hurting people. You know, yes, you know, I'm the senior pastor there, but man, we've got believers that are tirelessly working for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And if they hadn't come alongside, none of these ministries would have been born. There's no way we're doing this, you know, with just one or two people. This is a congregation of volunteers that are called of God. So to the church, you've got to hear, be discerning of the things of God. Because the enemy's going to tell you this isn't it. The enemy's going to try to create fear. The enemy's going to tell you your kids don't need to be raised in a church with a bunch of convicts. There's a lot of churches in Tupelo right now that don't have convict, not a single convict, you know, in their church. And so those people found a comfortable place to attend. Mm-hmm. But is that what it's about? Mm-hmm. Is that really what it's about, us to find a comfortable place to attend, a comfortable place for our kids to be in? My kids have seen a lot. My kids have witnessed a lot. Their hearts have been broken as they've had friends that have gone back into addiction, and they've lost friends in addiction that they knew at the church, and they saw their face and saw their name, and they heard them cry out to God, and then they go back into addiction, and they see that. So they've been broken. They've been wounded over these events that happen, but at the same time, they're learning what ministry is, and I think that's the key. So to the members, you're the key. You're a call of God on you, and I'm talking to some people right now that I know that are in church. You say, how do you do? Well, right now we're launching in new directions. We have the re-education facility. We minister a lot through our Servant's Heart Feeding Program to a lot of people, and they're just not able to provide a living for their family. And so we're trying to start a ministry that will provide training. Mm-hmm. Well, this is key, but at the same time, man, I'm not a business guy. I don't have a business mind, and I'm not able to train people. We're starting a building a facility for children and youth in Verona. We've lost 9 kids that have been shot and killed since we moved into Verona 2 years ago and took possession of the old First Baptist Church property. Mm-hmm. And 9 kids have died in this area, specifically Verona, Tupelo area, and that side of Tupelo, the southern side of Tupelo. So as a result, God's called us to minister and provide dreams. Without a vision, people perish. Mm-hmm. So the House of Dreams is a facility we want to build where kids can start dreaming again, where basketball and baseball and arts and crafts and music and theater, and all of these are offered to the kids in our community and with volunteers that will provide that. Again, this is taking a whole group of people outside. So I speak to the church. I speak to the body of believers that are, if God's called you to do something, begin to take steps. Mm-hmm. Because right now I'm struggling. You know, I'm struggling in these two ministries because they're way outside my comfort zone. And the cost of these two ministries are way outside my comfort zone. You know, our church has built 3 facilities, and they're usually around $200,000, $300,000. And now when I start sitting down to an architect with a gym and a theater and all of these things, of you know, the kitchen for the feeding program, and they start giving me a dollar amount, and you're looking at in the millions instead of the hundreds of thousands, I'm like, God. You know, and he's growing us, and that's the thing that I say I'm there with them when they get fearful of what to do next and the steps to take. It's a faith walk.
Our time is just about gone. Share with our listeners one more time how they can get in touch with you.
Our phone number at the Anchor Church is 662-260-5159. And you can leave a message and we will get back with you. But we do have, in Central Time, a secretary that responds and answers from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock Central Time. She's there in the office. And all of our facilities, anchor-church.com. anchorchurch.net is the web page at the Anchor Church. It kind of explains a lot of our ministries that are there. But I love to talk any pastor, any member that's wanting to start a ministry and they need help in getting started. I love to sit down and talk to any of them. And I think that's what God's called me to do now, is just to encourage men and women of God that are trying to take these steps of faith, and they're meeting opposition and the hostility that sometimes comes. And I want to encourage them.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. All right. Well, again, Pastor Ball, thank you so much for coming and sharing about the vision and the work and the ongoing work of Anchor Church and all the outreaches as well. And in the last few moments of the broadcast, as usual, if you're listening today and you've never made that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as the Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray a salvation prayer with me right now. In all of life, there's no more important decision than the decision to commit your heart and your life to the Lord. If you want to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for all my sins and wrongs. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in so many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things and actions I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Transform me. Make me all that you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. We really hope to hear from you again, jparker@afa.net. Pastor Ball, thank you again so much. Share Absolutely. One more time the website and contact information.
Anchor-church.net is the Anchor Church webpage, and the phone number is 662-260-5159.
All right. And if someone wants to visit the church or come to tour the ministry facilities, can they do that?
Absolutely. They come. Our services are 8:30 on Sunday morning is our early morning service, and that's a traditional service, and our contemporary service is 10:30. We have Sunday school in between at 9:30.
Okay. And that address?
That is 278 College Avenue, Verona.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Ball, for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.